Have you ever been consumed and overwhelmed by regret? Well, faithful service to the Lord is not based on negative feelings of regret. It's also not based on brief experiences of joy. Consistent, enduring, and long-term faithfulness comes from genuine and ongoing confession of sin and renewed commitment to obeying God's word. You'll learn more about this on today's lesson of the Wisdom Journey. Stephen called it Confession and Commitment.
I remember years ago getting a call from a family who lived near our home. Their little boy and my youngest daughter, Charity, who was 6 years old at the time, often played outdoors together. And well, he was having a party in his elementary class at school, and part of the festivities was a show and tell. His mom called to tell us that she had asked him what he wanted to bring for show and tell, and after he thought for a moment, he said, Charity. He wanted to bring my daughter for show and tell. I didn't know what to think about that. But we finally agreed. It was actually quite a nice compliment, and our daughter thought it was great, especially the ice cream and cake at the party. Well, I thought about this as I've thought of the people of Israel here. They're about to become God's show and tell on true confession and true commitment. If you want to know how to confess and commit your life to God, well, God's going to bring them along as a show and tell. He's going to show us how. Nehemiah chapter 9 picks up just a couple of days after the Feast of Booths. It tells us the people of Israel were assembled with fasting and in sackcloth and with earth on their heads. And the Israelites stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. So now after this joyful celebration is over, here they are showing up in humble confession over their sin. They're not playing charades, by the way, either. They're genuinely confessing their sin, which is evident. They're fasting, they're wearing sackcloth, they're putting dirt or ashes on their heads. These are all signs in these ancient days of mourning and contrition over sin. Now, verse 3 says, they stood up in their place and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a quarter of the day. For another quarter of that day, or it, they made confession and worshiped the Lord their God. Can you imagine for several hours they're confessing their sin? Now, the content of the people's confession is detailed at length here in this chapter. It's also verbalized by the Levites mentioned here in verse 5. So this is national confession as well as a personal time of confession. And it's been said correctly, I believe, that whenever genuine revival sweeps over a people, the first evidence is a profound awareness of sin, deep sorrow over sin. In fact, beloved, if you ask people today in your world if they're sinners, more than likely they're going to be offended by the suggestion. There's very little conscious awareness of sin in our world today. Now, I want to point out here several key elements in this prayer of confession. First, let me point out the Levites opened the prayer here in verse 5 by exalting God as the only true and living God. Here's what they're saying. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. You are the Lord, you alone. In other words, God has no rival. He alone is God. Well, secondly, now here in verse 6, they praise God as the creator. You have made heaven with all their host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve all of them. And now thirdly, they go on here in verses 9 to 11 to thank God for delivering his people from Egyptian bondage. Fourthly, the prayer also admits to failing God. Verse 16 acknowledges that their forefathers in the desert did not obey his commandments, but rebelled by building that golden calf as an idol. Now we have this fifth element in this great show and tell of true confession. And they praise God here for his faithful mercy. Verse 19 reads, "You in your great mercies did not forsake them in the wilderness." Now what they do is they sort of sum up Israel's history to this point in these words to the Lord here in verse 30. "Many years you bore with them and warned them by your spirit through your prophets, yet they would not give ear. Nevertheless, in your great mercies, you did not make an end of them or forsake them, for you are a gracious and merciful God." Wow. Well, here in verse 32, the prayer comes full circle. It returns to their current situation here in Jerusalem. Because of their sin, they admit that they've brought upon themselves the Lord's discipline. And so we read here in verse 36, "Behold, we are slaves this day in the land that you gave to our fathers." In other words, even though they're back in the land, they're still servants now of the Persian kingdom. This is genuine, true confession of sin. You see, their sin is seen in light of God's mercy and grace and faithfulness. Still, you don't find any excuses in here. There's no downplaying of their sin. They get it. In fact, they now understand the corruption and defilement of their sin. And that's going to lead to change in their behavior. I read some time ago of a rather interesting solution to a problem in a middle school in Oregon. A number of girls in the middle school were beginning to use makeup, lipstick. They would put it on in the girls' bathroom, and then they would, after putting it on, they had this tradition of pressing their lips to the mirror, leaving dozens of little lip prints. Well, it was taking a long time every day cleaning the mirror off, so the principal and the custodian came up with a rather clever plan. The principal called all the girls to the bathroom and explained how all those lip prints were slowing down the daily cleaning for the custodian. And she could tell, you know, the girls were unimpressed and unmoved. So then on cue, she asked the custodian to just show the girls how difficult it was as he cleaned the mirrors and how he did it. He took out a long-handled brush, went over, dipped it into one of the toilets, and then walked over and scrubbed the mirror. Well, let me tell you, the lip prints disappeared from that time forward. Their behavior stopped immediately. Beloved, we tend to downplay our sin. We manage it instead of confessing it. We sugarcoat our selfishness. We rationalize our disobedience. We even justify our pride. We excuse our disobedience. Frankly, we need to take a good look, so to speak, at what we're kissing up to. We're cozying up to nothing less than defilement and sin. Genuine confession is a heartfelt admission that we need the Lord to clean us up. In fact, he needs to clean us up every single day. Now, if confession is real, it's going to lead to commitment, change behavior. And their prayer here concludes in verse 38 with exactly that. "Because of all this," now they're praying to the Lord, "we make a firm commitment in writing. On the sealed document are the names of our princes, our Levites, and our priests." Wow, they're saying, we're going to change our behavior and we're even going to put this promise into writing and we're going to sign our names to it. Well, chapter 10 now, in fact, the first 27 verses just simply list all of the names of the leaders who signed this covenant. And it begins with Nehemiah's own name. Now, verses 28 and 29 add that many others, including even little children, are able to join in committing themselves, as it says here, to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord. Now, this doesn't mean they're going to be perfect from then on. No one is, but they are passionate in their walk with God. And also, they are giving a promise here to focus. And they're going to focus, frankly, on three commitments. First, they promise not to intermarry with the idolatrous people in the land, here in verse 30. Secondly, they commit to observing the Sabbath, here in verse 31. And thirdly, they promised to support the temple with their tithes, contributions, and offerings here in verse 32 and on down to the end of the chapter. And the chapter now concludes with another solemn promise here in verse 39. We will not neglect the house of our God. Wow, this is quite a passage, isn't it? These two chapters give us nothing less than a show and tell of true confession and true commitment. It's really nothing less than a loving response to a loving and faithful and merciful and gracious God. How can we do anything less than imitate these people here with our Lord? Well, we're out of time for today. Until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. Today's lesson is called Confession and Commitment. There's a special group of people called the crew who help make it possible for us to produce The Wisdom Journey. To thank them, we send the study guide for each lesson. Please consider partnering with us today. There's a link in the show notes, or you can visit wisdomonline.org to learn more. Join us again next time.